chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to see what led me to go in this direction of what we're going to be dealing with. Ephesians chapter 1, as we saw last Sunday morning regarding the book of Ephesians chapter 1, we're slowly crawling as we study one of the most incredible passages in the Word of God. And but we keep coming across something that is given to us as we study this, and I want to make sure that we just spend some time on this. If you will notice that it says in verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by what? The will of God. So which tells us that God does have a will for a person's life. All right? So we see this passage of Scripture. Look at verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to Himself, notice here, according to the good pleasure of His will. So we find that this whole idea of adoption that we had talked about in our preaching is according to the good pleasure of His will. All right? Now, if you notice in verse 9, having made known unto us, notice this, the mystery of His will. So we find that God has a mystery that He is revealing to us. Now, a mystery in the Bible, as we said Sunday morning, and we'll see more of this as we'll see it several times in the book of Ephesians, that a mystery in the Bible was something that was once concealed but now revealed. And so, for instance, the local church, that is not an Old Testament concept. The church is a New Testament concept. And we'll see in the book of Ephesians that God is not only calling the Jews, but He's calling Gentiles and Jews to make up one body called the church. This is why we have to understand that, you know, the downplaying of the local church is certainly against God's will. And we have to understand, you know, yeah, well, I can just pray and I can just talk to the Lord. You know, the boat is my pew. The sky is my chapel. The fishing pole, that's my Bible. You know, this kind of a mentality that says that it isn't important to go to church. What a contradiction to the New Testament. But we have the mystery, that which was not revealed, now being revealed. And that's what we have in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. We also look at verse 11, which will be our next passage that we'll study probably in about 3 weeks, because next Sunday, Kyle Herbster will be with us. The following Sunday, we'll have our missions conference. And you'll forget I even said what I'm saying tonight in 3 weeks. So, but if you notice there in verse 11, it tells us, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things. Notice this, after the counsel of His own will. So we have this over and over again. We find over in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, it tells us in verse 17, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And we know that that includes whatever God tells us, because in chapter 6 and speaking about practical employee-employer situation, servant-master. It tells us in chapter 6, verse 5, be obedient to them that are your masters, verse 6, not with eye service as men-pleasers, as the servants of Christ, doing what? The will of God. So that being said, you know, in parallel to our study of the book of Ephesians, I think it's important that we understand the will of God. And when we think of the will of God, God's will is God's sovereign decree or purpose. And the scripture tells us that God tells us in Acts chapter 4:21 that God does whatsoever his hand and counsel determines to be done. So God has determined certain things. You know, we have to get off our high horses. And I say that in all respect to all of you. But all of us as people, mankind as a people, we have to get off our high horses as if we're somehow going to reinvent what needs to be best done. No, God has already predetermined what is best to do. He already knows what you and I need to do. He's already told us this. And sometimes we get the idea that we're going to come up with some neat new idea. You know, here we are, you know, you lived to be 80, 90 years of age. And consider the fact that God is eternal and that somebody 90 years of age, that's just a very little drop in the bucket. I always like Isaiah chapter 40, which tells us that God is so huge. God is so humongous. And here these little peewee people think they can somehow outmaneuver God. Now that is crazy, because God knows best. You know, there used to be a show, and I don't know if I ever really watched it, but Fathers Knows Best. Well, our Heavenly Father knows best, and He knows what ought to be done and how it ought to happen. And that is His purpose. And He has made known to us the mystery of His will. Now, He doesn't tell us everything that He knows. Now, that is something we have to recognize. God doesn't share every one of the things He knows because He's infinite. We will spend eternity trying to understand God. God in His infinity is going to know things that we can never know. But there are certain things He has revealed to us. And God, according to Hebrews 6:17, is willing more abundantly to show the heirs, that's us, the promise, the immutability of His counsel. So God purposes certain things. So, that being said, it's been 8 years maybe since we've done a study on the will of God, and I want to just spend some time with this. Because it's important that we understand God's holy will. Now, we have to understand that Satan has a will. You and I have a will. God created us with a will. A person is someone who has intellect, emotion, and will. God has intellect. Of course, He's omniscient. He has emotion. He's perfect in His love. He's perfect in His hate. He's perfect in His emotions. But He also has a will. Now, Satan, in his will, is to undermine God. And Satan, in his desires, is to do things his way. That's why we cannot let ourselves fall for the lies of the devil. For he is a murderer and he is a liar, we're told in John 8:44. So, it's important that we understand God's will. I want to give you four reasons tonight. We've got 15 minutes. Four reasons why you need to understand God's will. Ephesians 5:17 talks about understanding what the will of the Lord is. So in other words, if it can be known, why is that important? I mean, what's the big deal if I ignore most of the Bible throughout my life? What's the big deal if I just somehow just don't make it a priority to learn about God? Well, there's some consequences of that. And yet there are great benefits of understanding God's will. Number one, understanding God's will make us wise. Okay? Now, God's gone through great effort to give us wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs tells us. To study the book of Proverbs is to understand the wisdom of life, knowing how to behave, being skillful in the things that we do. And so it tells us there in Ephesians 5, let's look at that again, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, that's an interesting word, unwise. In the Greek language, what you have, and you also have this in the English language, that if you want to say the negative of a word, you would put the word or the letter A before it. So, what does it mean to muse? Anybody know? To muse. To think. Is that what you're going to say, Matthew? So to muse is to think and to contemplate. What is amuse? I am being amused. This is entertaining. I'm not even having to think. So you go down on a roller coaster. You know, people that are going down on a roller coaster aren't in deep thought. The only thought they can think of at the moment is, you know, I might die. You know, that kind of a thing, you know. And then they get down to the bottom and they say, that's fun, let's go do it again. So to be wise and to put an alpha, this is a letter, Greek, first letter of the Greek alphabet is alpha. To put that word, that letter before wise would be to be unwise. Now what's interesting about that word in Ephesians 5:17 is that form of that word without the ah is the word prudent that we saw in chapter 1. Now let's go back over to chapter 1. Remember this? In chapter 1, verse 8, wherein he hath abounded, he's lavished upon us all wisdom and prudence. And this prudence is to have an understanding of how to behave. Now, we talked about that. Remember, we talked about the vaccine. Should you get the vaccine? And so we went through that. Now, my purpose of that wasn't so much to say what you should do and shouldn't do, so much as to help you to intellectually weigh out the pros and the cons of that, which I gave you those pros and cons. Because sometimes people do things without thinking. See? And you don't want to do things without thinking. So when he tells us in Ephesians 5:17, you don't want to be doing things without thinking. You want to think about what the will of the Lord is. And it's important that we understand that this whole idea of God's will We want to know God's will so we do not fall into the trap of foolishness. And it's funny how we all have our followers of who we think is right and who we think is wrong. And our tendency, isn't it, that if we follow someone who we think is right in a certain way, we have a tendency to believe everything they say. But they could be wrong. So this is why you want to understand what the will of the Lord is. You want to understand that God's will make us wise. Number two, the second reason why we want to understand God's will is because God's will is the goal of the Christian life. God's will is the goal of the Christian life. Now let's turn with, if you would turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 4 and verse 12, we're told about Epaphras. Now, Epaphras was on a mission for the Apostle Paul. In chapter 4, verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ. Are you there? Colossians 4, verse 12. Saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers. Why? That ye may stand what? Perfect and complete in what? So this is one of the goals of pastoral ministry. See, and if you remember, we're told in Ephesians, we don't have time to go through all of this, but in Ephesians 4, where it says the purpose of the pastor is to perfect the saints so that they may do the work of the ministry. So God doesn't expect pastors to do all the work. You know, shepherds don't bear sheep. I don't know if you thought about that. Sheep bear sheep. But shepherds lead the sheep. Of course, the pastor is a sheep as well. He's just a leading sheep. So, understanding that the goal of the Christian is to be complete in the will of God. You know, it's fascinating. You know, I preached on the average, and it doesn't always happen, but usually three or four times every week for the last 30 years. That's a lot of sermons. And I will repeat sermons. I usually try not to preach a sermon more than once every 7 years or so. Though I did make an exception to that Sunday night, but that's another issue. So, it is interesting, though, that, you know, the pastor, you know, you're trying so much, you want to preach the whole counsel of God. You don't want to ride hobby horses. And so you want to do all you can to help people to be very well-rounded in their Christian life. That's why we have a Sunday morning service, Sunday night service, Wednesday night service. What we do in each one of these services is totally different. And there's a reason for that. Because you want people to be well-rounded in their Christian life. And the scripture here tells that being well-rounded in the Christian life is the will of God. Number three, not only do we understand God's will makes us wise, not only do we see that understanding God's will is a goal of the Christian life, but number three, understanding God's will helps our prayer. Understanding the will of God helps us in our prayer life. Now, I'm looking at the clock here. Can I just quote some verses? Okay, write this down if you want to study it. For instance, in the book of 1 John, chapter 5, Verse 14, it says, "And there is the confidence that we have in Him that if," now listen to this, "if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." Now think about that. You want to be successful in your prayer life. You want to see prayers answered. Find out what God wants. And He does not hold back what He wants. He gives us liberally those things we ask for. James chapter 1. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Now, it's true that God wants certain things to happen. He wants certain people, He wants all people saved. But we have to understand that God answers prayer according to His will. That's why to pray contrary to His will, that's ridiculous. We want to pray according to His will. Now, it is true that sometimes God, I think of in the case of King Saul, we want a king, we want a king. So God let them have what they wanted. But it was to their detriment. Number four, and I've got to bring this to a close. Understanding God's will helps us to do what God created us to do. Okay? And I do want you to see this verse in Revelation chapter 4. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Here's the believers and the angelic host before the throne of God. In chapter 4 of Revelation, verse 11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things for Thy," what's the word? Okay, let's start again. Make sure. Everyone there? Okay, here we go. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things and for Thy..." Okay? That's still not good enough. Let me hear everyone say it. All right. I want you to see that word because that's the very same word for will. That's interesting. So that is the word that is translated will in other verses that we've been looking at. And it tells us here, "For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy will they are and were created." Why are we here anyway? You know, people ask that question, what am I doing here on this planet Earth? Well, we are here to do God's will. And when we have uprooted that purpose because of sin, God had to send a Redeemer to right the wrong. And the Scripture tells us that He has a plan for us. Now, football season's getting ready to start. And, you know, and I find it interesting because certain teams have certain strategies, they have certain plans, and maybe they're going to pass a lot, maybe they're going to run a lot, some of them are going to just lose a lot. But the fact is, they have a plan, all right? So they have a strategy. Now, God has a strategy. And God created you to do His will. I mean, this isn't some minor issue in the Word of God. This isn't some counselor's neat little niche to kind of get people to understand who to marry, what job they're going to get, and so on, and la da 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 da. No, the will of God is mentioned so often in the Bible. And God tells us that that's why we are created. So, how important is the will of God? Well, it's huge. Very huge. So for us to study this is certainly worth doing. It makes us wise. It's the goal of our Christian lives. It helps us to pray. And it's the reason God created us. So I hope that it is our goal in life to do His will. Now, Lord, we ask that You guide us now. Help us, strengthen us according to Your plan. And we'll thank You for it, for Jesus' sake. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.